Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to the Delicious Podcast and a special series in collaboration with the Food Foundation. I'm Julie Smith, and you'll know me as the host of this show, but I'm also the producer of the Right to Food Podcast, featuring its young food ambassadors who are campaigning against children's food insecurity and poverty. The ambassadors have a vision and have written the Children's Right to Food Charter, calling for government action to tackle children's food insecurity and obesity. And in this special series for Delicious, they're looking back over the last year at some of the issues in the food system that COVID has revealed and how to fix them.
You just go to bed hungry, you sleep it away. And because I'm heavily into sports, it was always just like, do I have enough energy to go and play sports?
But first, let's meet some of the young ambassadors and hear some of the stories which have made them some of the most influential voices in the fight against child food poverty. In this episode, we find out how to make your voice heard and who has influence to make real change. Janai Clark has been an ambassador for the Food Foundation for 2 years and has not only delivered the charter to Downing Street, but launched the Right to Food podcast with fellow ambassador Shane Robinson on Radio 4.
Welcome to the Food Programme, the place for hungry minds. I'm Janai Clark.
I'm Shane Robinson.
And I'm Sheila Dillon. And this week, the three of us are co-presenting a special edition of the Food Programme to focus on a subject we followed for a long time, but that suddenly crashed its way to the top of the news agenda.
And it's not just Sheila Dillon who's listening.
Janai.
Hi, Emma.
You look so beautiful.
Thank you.
Dame Emma Thompson joined the ambassadors to lend her influence and open a few doors.
And we went to Downing Street.
Yeah, and delivered our charter.
Delivered the charter, knocked on the bell. Yes. Dev played a game and went and rang the bell and then ran away.
<The door run. laughs>
But behind the headlines and the TV news report of Dame Emma outside Downing Street with kids with lived experience of food poverty in the sixth richest economy in the world is a story of not being heard. As she met up with Janai again a year and a half after delivering the charter, it was clear that it wasn't enough.
So, since then, yeah. what's happened in your mind about this, all of this?
Well, we haven't heard back from them.
No, that's important, isn't it, that we haven't. So it didn't hit them in between the eyes, perhaps, in the way that we wanted it to.
Obviously, COVID happened and lockdown happened and holiday hunger was a massive thing and it's just exaggerated the problem.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing it a lot more.
Are you?
Yeah. It's just like, and then when going to shops, it's like there's nothing there.
No.
And it's just like, how has the problem gotten worse?
Yeah.
Like, you thought it couldn't have gotten worse.
Yes.
And it did.
Yes.
So it's just, how did this happen? Clearly, there's been something wrong.
Yeah, there's something so desperately wrong.
Yeah.
And the safety net that's supposed to be there just is so full of holes, isn't it?
Lived experience. It's the kind of story that the media loves. And the Food Foundation ambassadors have plenty of it.
But tell me, you know, just a little bit about what you remember about your own experiences when you were little. Because I think that's really important for people to hear because people don't really believe it sometimes.
Yeah. Like, for me, growing up, especially during holidays, I'd look in the fridge, look in the cupboards. OK, there's nothing to eat. What can I do? Go to bed. You just go to bed hungry. You sleep it away. And because I'm heavily into sports, I'm doing sports therapy at university, It was always just like, do I have enough energy to go and play sports?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a constant decision that I'd been having when I wanted to go to a club, play netball or to play rugby. It was just an ongoing battle. And it's wrong that me, along with millions of other young people, have to go through this on a daily basis and then get told, oh, that's not true. We don't believe you.
Well, that's awful. That's awful because yeah. there's a denial about it. Mm-hmm. And is that because maybe, I mean, people don't want to believe it
yeah.
because it's really shameful, actually.
Ignorance
with
is bliss.
With the sixth richest economy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make any sense. It's not like we've had a big famine and there's no food in the country. The country is heaving with food,
exactly.
actually. But there are deserts in places.
Yeah.
And because... I'm really interested that you're doing sports therapy because you'll be doing a lot on
yeah.
what food does to your body. And I wonder if you can remember about the difference between sheep food and food that made you feel good and food that made you feel bad and talk about that a bit. Can you remember?
Yeah, because I remember I used to like sometimes I would eat before training. It's not the best thing, but I'd eat before training because it's the one time I could really eat. And when I found myself eating, like, chips, burgers, frozen food, I just felt tired.
Mm.
Like, it was just like I wasn't putting enough effort in and I just didn't really want to be there. And I was just like, I want to go to bed and I just wanted to, you know, just relax. But then when I found myself, like, having a balanced diet, getting everything I needed, it was like, oh, I can run, I can sprint, I can pass, I can do whatever I need to do. And it's just like food has a massive impact on how you feel on a daily basis, and anyone will tell you that.
But you've made this incredible and fantastically powerful decision now to talk about it as you enter into your young adulthood and speak for others. And as soon as someone hears you say that, on this programme, it will be a help.
Yeah.
Because, won't it?
Yeah.
If you'd heard somebody speaking like you, what do you think it would have done for you when you were young?
I think it would have just shown me that other people are going through this situation, but you can't let it define you. You've got to just, this is a situation, but you can progress, you can do what you want to do, you can go to uni, you can get an apprenticeship. And like with Marcus Rashford as well, like he's been through the same situations and look where he is now. So this might be the situation you're in now, but you don't have to be in the situation forever.
No, it will change.
Yeah. Change is coming.
Yeah.
You're
going
to make me cry.
I know. I'm holding on to myself just to stop the tears from spouting out like a sort of geezer.
Before COVID-19, 4.2 million children were living in poverty in the UK. That's 9 in every classroom of 30, and that's not funny. Emma and the Young Food Ambassadors had delivered their charter to Downing Street, but government was still being slow to respond. But all that was about to change. In June, the Manchester United footballer Marcus Rashford had written an open letter to MPs about his experiences of food insecurity using the Food Foundation's data. It was a game-changing moment.
You know, my mum, she'd done the best she could. I remember we used to go to a shop called Pound World, and everything was under a pound, and, you know, we'd sort of schedule out the week, so we'd get 7 yogurts, and you can have 1 yogurt a day, and so on. So she'd done the best she could within the circumstances.
Emma decided to reach out to him.
Hello, Marcus. Hello, Mrs. Rashford, more importantly even. It's Emma Thompson here. I'm so sorry, I hope this isn't an imposition, but I've been listening to you talking about food, and all the data that you were using comes from the Food Foundation, and I've been working with them a little bit. And so I just wanted, first of all, to thank you so much for changing the face of the argument like that, because I went last year with a wonderful group of young people, 15, 16-year-olds, and some younger, to Downing Street to explain the situation and to ask for help, and they all made lots of very positive noises and did absolutely nothing. So thank you for shifting it in the way that you have. It's incredible. I know that every charity and their dog will be asking you to do things, so please ignore this if you're inundated and you're starting the football season, which just makes my thighs ache just to think about. And who is going to say hello to an old lady with this hair? Thank you, COVID. But if you were to want to help with the kids, it'd be so brilliant, because we're about to present again to government, and I know that they'll listen harder if you're with us.
And it worked.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Janai, Rabia, Tia, Tyler and Robin, just five of the team of ambassadors, had found a like mind.
Bring Marcus up to date on where we are and what you think, as a group, we're going to do to make sure that this money is in the next budget. That's the goal.
One of the first things that we actually want to do is about free school meals, so making sure that every child who lives with people who are on universal credits gets the free school meals when they're due them, really.
Mm. We get that the free school meals in school, but what do the kids do when they're not in school? Like, schools have been closed because of COVID recently, so what have the kids been doing?
When somebody was on free school meals, it was looked as like, oh, they're scruffy and stuff like that, and it's looked down upon. People were getting laughed at, which obviously isn't really good. You shouldn't be laughing at someone for being on free school meals, and I don't think that's right.
What did you actually see? Describe it to me.
Say one person is just queuing up for the dinner, so there's queues for the dinner where they pick up. So you get a card at where the school I went to, so you scan the card, but the people with the food poverty, with the free school meals,
yeah,
they had a different card, so it'd stand out, which that shouldn't be a thing either.
That's a really good point. Yeah. So that's something that should be changed. All the cards should look the same.
Yeah.
100%. What's the problem? Easy to do.
Nobody should be singled out for being on free school meals. It shouldn't be looked down upon.
Do you think it's a good idea, like, this is a question for all of you guys, to get in contact with all our local MPs and just go literally into their surgeries and say, this is the issue. Please, are you going to support me or not? I mean, like you see in those American TV programmes about politics, everybody ringing up all night, ringing all the people in this and just saying, can you get behind this? You have to get behind this.
I think that is what we need to do. We need to get in touch. See, because if our local MPs have something to say about it, then I'm sure that everyone else can say something about it.
Yeah.
Building public awareness of everyday food poverty in Britain is vital. But as Emma says, it shouldn't just be the voices of the rich and famous who tell those stories.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The most important thing is that they hear you. They hear what you've been through, that they understand what you've been through, and that this is a real thing. And when the disbelief goes and the denial goes, then that hopefully will take some of the shame and stigma away, because we were also talking about that, and you've all talked about that. It was Tyler was talking about, you know, seeing people being laughed at because they've got the free school meal voucher, and they tap it, you know, and it's just like a license for other people who perhaps through ignorance, through, I don't know what it is, I don't really understand it. It's out there.
It's all about communities. Mm. So if, especially high schools, because you get people from different communities, if one person lives in one area, Mm. And the other, so I lived in two areas that were 10 minutes from each other.
Right.
But that community is completely different, the complete opposite to that community. So when I moved there, then that's when I seen, like, it's just a complete different life that they live. And what's normal to them isn't normal to me.
Yeah.
So I think that's where that can come from, with people making fun of people or the stigma or whatever it may be. But once you're within your community, I didn't have none of that when I was younger, because everyone from my school was from my community, and we was all going through the same type of stuff. So
yeah.
People don't even know that they're in food poverty because it's so normalised, especially in the north. Like, if you ask a child if they're on free school meals, they'll say, yeah, but it's normal. I've been on free school meals my whole school life. Like, I felt like everyone had free school meals in primary school because I didn't understand how normalised it actually was in, like, Darwin and Blackburn, where we live.
And it's just difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I can remember when I was little, I was really bullied at school because I was fat, I had a plait and a posh accent. No, I was like the... But you just go, oh, well, I must be awful. You kind of think to yourself, don't you, blame yourself, yeah. And you think, there must be something wrong with me. And actually, Rabia was talking about that. We were talking about that when she'd eaten bad food and here she is, Rabia! Tell that story about you've just been eating the bad food, because I think the bad food is a really important part of this story as well.
Yeah, so from experiences, eating bad food, you know, whether it's burgers, chips, takeout, I slowly started to realise that it was taking a toll on my mental health, feeling insecure about myself, and definitely, like, just the laziness. Like, before, when I was eating healthier food, I had so much energy, I could go about my whole day. After that, it was downhill.
And if I remember Corey saying last year, you come out of school, and in some areas, there's just all these chicken shops and... Yeah. Chip That's shops it, yeah. And all of these food, and of course you go in there.
But it was like that at school though. Like, when I was at school, we had like a certain amount that we could spend a day.
Yes.
But it was always the healthier food that was more expensive than the non-healthy food. So yeah. You could pay like what £1.50 for a pot of fruit, but then it was like what £1 for a chicken burger or something like that.
In college, especially in college, you can get a burger and chips for £2 rather than the meal I should be eating, but it's just like, I can't afford it. And even it gets you into bad habits, and that will stick with you for the rest of your life. Because even now at university, when I'm doing my own shopping, I'm just like, oh, frozen food is so much easier. It doesn't go out of date. It's a lot cheaper, especially as a student. And it's just like, I'm trying to learn how to eat healthier and have a balanced diet at my age.
But what's the alternative for families on low incomes? Emma asked Marcus how his mum fed his family.
She used to put it on like a slow cooker every day.
Right.
So while she was at work, she'd at work 9 till she finished at 5, but she didn't get on till about 6.
Right.
But some days I'd have training late.
Yeah.
So literally I'd be eating cereal all day. And then when she'd get back from work, we'd have to go catch 2 buses straight to training. And then 2 buses back, and then it's like 11 o'clock. So she's got work at 8 in the morning, and she's got to get me ready for school. And so some days I'd understand that, like, you know, you can't cook on a Thursday was my late hit training.
Right.
So she can't cook on Thursdays. So I used to go to breakfast club at like 7:30. Mm. And then I'd just be at school all day, and then go to my friend's house for a little bit after school, then go home, get changed, then I'd just be out playing until she got home. And, and that was just my daily routine, really.
Yeah, but again, with like the stigma at school, if I went in for like 2 lessons and I said, oh, I'm hungry, they'd be like, oh, why didn't you have breakfast at home? Did your mum not make your breakfast this morning? But in like other families where the mums are getting up early and going to work, they won't take that into account, that if you have just a slice of toast, you're not allowed to complain about being hungry in school, which it don't really make sense how you can't talk about being hungry.
And also, not only that, I'm saying, what that question, that very question, didn't your mum make you breakfast? It's a sort of criticism, isn't it, of your mum, and you don't want to hear that. It's really painful. And
yeah, there's an element of embarrassment when it comes to, like, with conversations like that. Like, there's been many situations exactly the same where it's like teachers you've complained about being hungry or you've just said it. And teachers have like turned around and said, well, did you not eat anything for breakfast? Did you not get fed this morning or something like that? And it's like, you know that you haven't been fed and you know that you haven't had anything for breakfast, but you can't turn around and say that or say the real reason that you haven't actually ate. Because then it's like,
feel embarrassed.
Yeah, it's embarrassment.
Stop the Stigma was one of the key aims of the Children's Right to Food Charter, yet the latest Food Foundation research finds that 40% of food insecure households haven't tried to get help because of the stigma of asking for it. Pulling food poverty out of the shadows with headlines of football heroes and stories of lived experience, 2020 was the year of rethinking the way we feed our poorest kids. And the more the government's priorities excluded hungry children, the more the country raised its voice. Food writer and Instagram star Melissa Hemsley used her influence to keep the momentum growing as Marcus Rashford launched his parliamentary petition to end child food poverty. Janai asked her how she did it.
I truly believe that every single one of us is an influencer and every single one of us is an activist, because if you care about something and do something about it, then you're an activist. So I think the important thing that I really try and do is, if I'm asking people to do something, make it as easy as possible to do it. So I think the best way to use influence effectively is to tell people exactly what you want them to do and make it easy. So whether it's signing a petition, or if you really want to ask those that are able to and are in a position to donate £5 this week, make it so simple for them to enter their details, make it easy for them to share. I think showing people how easy it is to do something is a really good example. So, hello everyone, I've just signed this petition, swipe up to sign it. I've also feel I've been able to donate some money this week. If you're able to donate £5, that would be amazing. If not, we understand, maybe you could share this 10 times instead.
And again, it worked. The ambassadors joined the rest of the Food Foundation team on Zoom to watch the moment Marcus's petition hit a million signatures.
Five to go!
Five to go!
Oh,
three!
Oh. Is it stuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Food Foundation ambassadors are now regularly meeting MPs who want to hear their stories of lived experience. In November 2020, the government announced a funding package to help alleviate child food poverty, with 2 out of 3 asks met. The Holiday Activity and Food Programme was extended to all areas in England, to all children who get free school meals, and the value of Healthy Start vouchers was increased to £4.25. Their call for expansion of free school meals to all under-16s with parents on universal credit, though, was turned down. The latest research from the Food Foundation shows the devastating impact the pandemic has had on the UK's most vulnerable populations. Food insecurity remains higher than pre-COVID levels, affecting an estimated 4.7 million adults. That's 9% of households over the last 6 months. Melissa asked Janai what she's learnt from the pros about what to do about it.
You're a dream team with the likes of Emma Thompson and, you know, Marcus Rashford, who is a hero of our times. Obviously, they've used their influence for the greater good. Obviously, they're super talented people in their own fields. And beyond that, they've gone, this is not okay. We've had enough. What was their advice for how to use your influence?
Well, that experience was really, really good. And the main thing I got from that experience was, you had two different, completely different people. You have Emma Thompson and you have Marcus Rashford. And they were both just coming together on a cause that really needs attention. So that was like the biggest eye-opener for me. But as far as advice, they were kind of just like, don't stop, keep going.
Thanks for listening to Right to Food on the Delicious podcast. Next week, I'll be back with the rise of food banks and food clubs, presented by ambassadors Rabia and Felix. I'll see you then.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.